This is Ray Rodriguez from Christian Cycling Del Marva, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Mandy McKay.
Everyone, we're back. This is Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 17.
Helping youth workers to keep going. My name is Matthew McCabe.
I'm Steve Anderson.
And welcome, we're just back. Glad to be with you on this fine day.
Absolutely.
The Tuesday after Memorial Day.
That's right.
It isn't that day today, but it will be that day when people listen to this.
That's true.
So it's legit.
It is
I can
legit.
Say that, can I?
You can say that.
All right, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. So
I hear you're bringing your kids home from college tomorrow.
Yeah, yep. Tomorrow is the reintroduction of half of my children. They are both last finals tomorrow morning, and then their checkout, and then they're rolling in. So probably by dinner tomorrow, we will double the amount of children in our home.
Is your wife on cloud nine right now?
She is pretty darn happy about this whole situation.
All the chicks coming back to the nest.
All the chicks coming back to the nest. Yeah. We're very excited. I actually think they're bringing an extra home with them for a week, so I think we were actually gaining a child for a week.
Somebody
who, you know, has a summer job, they can't start until next week and didn't have anywhere to go between now and then, so they called and said, hey, can this person come and hang with us this week? I'm like, are you asking permission or did you already invite them? And they said, no, we already invited them, we're just letting you know. So, all right, sounds good, bring them on.
Good deal.
Transitioning.
I brought my son home last Wednesday from his sophomore year of college, drove down to Nashville and picked him up, turned around, drove back home. It's like a 24-hour round trip. So
good times.
A lot of driving.
Absolutely. You have a birthday coming up, don't you?
It's good to have home. Yeah, I got a birthday coming up. We don't want to talk about that.
We don't want to talk about that?
No.
No, but they happen.
Birthdays are fun when you're 20.
I know.
They're not too fun when you're not 20.
Exactly. I can tell you because I looked on my phone today that I have 174 days. Until I turn 50.
I've already got our episode figured out for that week. So
I know what
we're going to talk about. Okay.
All right. Good times. So, did you tell you we're getting a puppy?
Are you?
Yeah. Family's getting a puppy. New puppy. It was born a couple weeks ago. So, we got to wait till the, whole whatever. We get it at 7 weeks. So, about mid-June, we'll add a puppy to the mix.
So you're bringing home two kids from college, plus another kid, and a puppy.
And a puppy.
Who pees on the floor more? Is it your son, your oldest son? Is it going to be the puppy? Maybe the house guest?
What? Ask me again in July. I'll let you know. Because it'd be an even race, probably. So lots of transitions, man. This is time of year. It's crazy.
I mean, it is.
We talked last week about the transition from the school year mindset of student ministry to the summer mindset. Transition.
We are in the throes of it right now in our student ministry.
Yep.
We have so many events surrounding the transition into middle school from fifth grade, transition into high school from eighth grade, the seniors graduating, all the grad parties, transitioning out. We have college students returning, transitioning back into our college ministry. It is just, it's incredible. I can't even wrap my mind around all the changes and all the events that happen around the issue of transition.
Transition is a big deal in student ministry. And so, we thought we should talk about it.
We should.
The Sherpas should give some ideas on what they think about transitions. So
it's hard.
Why transitions? Why are transitions so important outside of just the march of time? I mean, obviously, transitions are important because when you're in fifth grade, you can't be in children's ministry anymore.
And I was in fifth grade for a couple years.
So outside of that march of time,
right?
You know, when we think about the context of transitions in student ministry, why is it so important? Because just spoiler alert, they're very important.
They are very
important. Which is why we're taking an episode to talk about it. But let's talk about why they're important.
Well, think about it in terms of your own family. Those were really important milestone moments for your kids.
100%.
Right? Yeah. I mean, back when I was in school, we didn't have like elementary school graduation. Now they have preschool graduation.
Promotion days and graduation, yeah.
And so, we want to mark all these big events. And so for parents, this is a big deal, moving their kid from one school to another.
Yep.
You know, fifth to sixth grade, or maybe you have junior high at sixth to seventh grade. Those are important moments in the life of a family and the life of a kid.
And so they're definitely going to be important moments in our student ministry.
Absolutely.
Well, at least they should be, which is our job to make sure they are important. I know for us, we just think that it's important if the world is going to celebrate those markers in their life and mark them with pomp and circumstance and all of this crazy
literally
stuff.
Pomp and circumstance.
Literally, yeah. Right? That we, in the context of the church, in the context of our ministry, we would be neglectful if we didn't honor and mark those in a different way. I mean, not the same way, but if it's important enough for the society around us to say, we need to stop and take a minute to honor and recognize this big transition, well, then I think we should do it in our student ministries.
Well, of course, we do that in the church in a lot of ways, right? We celebrate Mother's Day. We celebrate Father's Day.
Absolutely.
You know, all the things that are part of our culture. Super Bowl Sunday.
That's right.
So, yeah, we definitely align with the cultural markers, and these are significant ones in most families.
Absolutely.
So we have to take them pretty seriously. There's some other reasons I think that transitions are important.
Absolutely. I think one of the big things is connections, right?
Right.
Because so much of the lifeblood of our student ministry is relational. It's being connected. I mean, not that they don't come every week to hear our phenomenal teaching, right? It's probably not the driving factor.
I'm pretty sure they don't come every week.
It's probably not the driving factor. The driving factor that keeps students involved is their connection, their feeling of belonging. I'm a part of this.
Yeah.
I'm connected to this. These are my people. This is my group. Well, when you're transitioning somebody in, you gotta get them connected or lose them.
Yeah, I look at this as the weak link in the chain. If
sure.
you can't get over that bridge from one transition, from one group to the next, it's that weak link. That link breaks, and the kid falls off the cliff, right?
Sure.
The road collapses, and they're in the river.
The black hole.
Yeah, and so we have to strengthen those weak links by adding extra emphasis
to the
transition.
To the transition.
So that we can get them over that hump and integrated fully into that next phase of the ministry.
Absolutely. So connection is an important thing.
Yeah.
What's the old saying? You only get one chance.
To make a good first impression.
To make a good first impression. And so with this transition, we have an opportunity to put our best foot forward. Well, we're only going to do that if we make it a big deal. If we put some effort and some intentionality and some time into thinking about how we do this transition so that we can make a good first impression, not only on the student, you know, whether it be the fifth grade to sixth grade transition or the eighth grade to high school transition, but on their parents as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make a good first impression with communication, with how well the events run, with how much their student enjoyed it or felt, you know, a part of it. So we got one crack at it.
Yeah.
So we got to do it well.
That's true.
Not to put any pressure on everybody, but it's the truth. We only get one opportunity.
So we've wrestled with these transitions, and I've tried lots of different things over the years and just tried to figure out what works best and put the right emphasis in the right places at the right times of year and all that. Like, it's just hard. It's definitely a challenge.
So obviously we've talked about how important it is, these transitions, and the importance of connecting and first impressions, making sure they're welcome, creating these markers for them because that's what our society does. So then what's the practicality of that? Like how do you mark transitions in your student ministry, Steve?
We do our transitions primarily in the spring, or late spring, May, June. So we right now are in the midst of moving our fifth graders up into the middle school. The children's ministry does a really cool thing in the months of April and May, where they do a special class for the fifth graders. They invite the parents to be involved in that to some extent. And it kind of provides that bridge between elementary school and middle school.
Mm. And do they do that on the night of your program?
They do it on the night of our normal middle school program.
Wow.
They even come in and check out the worship and just kind of see what's going on
in the big room.
Yeah. And then we do an event. We do a picnic. We invite the parents and the students. We call it the sixth grade welcome. We've already moved. We've already transitioned the eighth graders out by then.
Okay.
So it's a little less intimidating for the little ones. And so, yeah, we take the parents aside that evening and give them some vision about the youth ministry, how we do things, get a chance to ask questions of us and so forth while the kids are engaged in other activities. And it seems to be a pretty good night.
Yeah.
I think it's a win for us. But the one challenge is as soon as we do that transition event, we have like one big event following that for middle school. And then we hit the period of the summer calendar, which we talked about last week, where we're not meeting regularly.
Trips.
And so we move them up. We have one event, and then we got nothing for them for like a month.
Yeah.
So it's not easy. How about you guys?
We do a succession of transitions. All the different transitions, back to back to back, 3 weeks in a row. We start with seniors, move to eighth grade, and we end with our fifth graders moving in. That's the last
actually,
thing
we do the
do.
Same thing.
Yeah, okay.
I should have unpacked that a little bit more.
But you just start a little earlier. We don't start till June.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're moving our senior. We have our senior banquet this weekend.
So we will do three events back to back to back transitions on each Sunday.
Okay.
We start with our seniors, and then we go to our eighth graders, and then we sort of end with our fifth graders, which is, I think, exactly the way you do it, except you started a little bit earlier.
Okay.
And so for our fifth graders, our children's ministry is called Promised Land. So we call it the reverse Exodus. and so it's a parent and student event, much like yours. It happens on a Sunday morning, so the parents go over to the children's ministry, and they have a big hoorah-rah time of like, here are our fifth graders that are graduating. Everyone cheers for them.
Instead of the Red Sea's parting, the Red Sea's flow over top of the fifth graders and they're destroyed?
And they're destroyed, yes.
That's your reverse Exodus? That doesn't sound very pleasant.
It's not quite like that.
That doesn't make a very good first impression.
No, it doesn't. No, it's not like that. Actually, what we do, because our student ministry wing and our children's wing are on opposite sides of our auditorium, and this happens during a morning service.
Okay.
What we do is, and we kind of coordinate it out, it takes a lot of logistics, but we interrupt the morning service. So when we're done in Promised Land, the middle school volunteers and leaders lead the children right across the stage in the middle of the service. So they kind of stop the service and they kind of make an announcement, and some of our middle school leaders play trumpets and we have flags and they just march. It's a spectacle.
Is this your idea?
And the church, I can't remember if it was my idea. The flags were Rollo's idea, I know that. But our middle school guy's idea. But the church just cheers wildly for these kids. It's like their moment, and they're on the big stage in front of hundreds of people.
That's cool.
And then they kind of walk off the stage and into the student ministry area. The parents come over, and we just have a little reception over there with cake and punch, and give them a quick preview of what middle school looks like.
Which is great because you've celebrated it in front of the church, so the church is aware of the transition as well.
Church knows the transition as well, and then they get a welcome bag with a student ministry T-shirt and a zip string backpack, and it has the summer calendar that says, hey, now you're welcome to come to all of these things. You're a part of the ministry now. You come here on Sundays and all that kind of stuff, and it's a pretty big deal for them. And again, over the years, it's grown in legend. So you get these fifth graders during the spring semester of their fifth grade year that are just sort of counting the days until the reverse Exodus, till they get to be on the stage and see it. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
For our eighth graders, we do an eighth grade goodbye party at the middle school. We usually give out some kind of superlatives to them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. We just make up the most ridiculous possible things and celebrate them with a final night at our middle school group. And then the very next Sunday, just 4 days later, we welcome them into the high school group. Mm. And we call it the burrito banquet. We buy a box of burritos from Chipotle, which is one of the most beautiful packages you could ever find
really?
In the backseat of your car. It's just... It's a thing of beauty. A whole box of burritos?
Yeah, I guess. I'm all right. I'm not a big Chipotle fan, but I'm okay.
Goodness.
I'm okay.
Who is this partner of mine
I'm
over
a Cafe
here?
Rio guy. Sorry.
Jeez. Well, that's fine, but man, Chipotle, box of burritos. Anyway, so we bring them in. We send out a personal invitation and letter to them. And then we have this reception in the lobby as we wait to take them into the youth room. We celebrate them upon their entrance with some fiesta music and seat them at the table. And we have upperclassmen bring out the burritos and serve them.
Sure, yeah.
Just make a fun time out of it.
Absolutely.
And then the rest of that evening, the rest of the high schoolers come in to the regular night of youth group. And then the whole thing is based around having fun together.
Yeah.
Usually doing skits and games. And
getting connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
It's proven to be pretty good.
Yeah, our eighth grade thing is pretty similar. Again, our middle school meets on Sunday morning, so they do their farewell in the morning and their welcome in the evening. So same day.
Okay.
You know, so they, you know, the,
that's a full day.
Yeah, they get to, in the morning, they get to, they pick the game, they pick the worship songs we sing, and the big slideshow with all their, you know, with their baby picture and their eighth grade picture and some other random picture. And so, yeah, we kind of make a big deal in the middle school about them. And then they come in on Sunday night and it's a big welcome thing and all kinds of fun. But we have, over the last couple of years, put in a bunch of events to make it a little bit more of a slow ramp up. So we're trying to get them connected earlier. So we actually start in January.
Okay.
And we pick a couple, and our high school has what we call contact events, you know, fun events on a Saturday night just to bring your friends to and hang out. Invite the eighth graders to about two or three of those through the spring, you know, so they can join in with the high schoolers during that. And then our spring retreat is a both middle school and high school event.
Right.
And so the eighth graders in that spring retreat tend to gravitate towards, we program them towards the high school rather than the middle school.
Okay.
You know, so that's another opportunity for it. And then usually the week before the spring retreat, we call it eighth grade preview night.
Okay.
So the eighth graders come on Sunday night to the high school group. Their small group leaders from middle school come to the high school group. Mm-hmm. And they just experience a whole night at the high school group. And then when it comes small group time, they have their normal eighth grade small group with their normal leaders just in with the high schoolers. So they get a whole night of this is what's going on, even before they come on that Sunday that is the transition night. So by the time they get to that Sunday night,
it feels normal.
It feels a little bit more normal. And we found that those on-ramp changes to make it more of a merge rather than like this
sharp right turn
Has really helped quite a lot.
I think the smoother the transition, the more pre-existing relationships that exist, the easier it's going to be for students to move into the new group. So we actually try, if possible, to get our leaders to move up from middle school with their group into high school,
which is a great way to help break down some of those barriers of moving.
Doesn't always happen, but this year coming up, we have at least four of them moving up with their students that they've been working with for the past 3 years.
Yeah, and so that helps kind of take the edge off that transition for them.
It's going to seem like good old times to them.
What about your seniors? What do you guys do for seniors?
Well, we do a senior banquet, big deal, celebrated to the T. Families are invited. We do a senior future for each kid, imaginary future.
Okay.
It's most ludicrous.
Oh, possible, sure. Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
I go out to, basically what I do is go to Google Images and I look for the weirdest pictures I can find. And then I write a little biography to go with how this student ended up looking like that.
Looking like that. Yeah. Oh, fun.
I keep archives of all of our pictures over the course of their time.
Sure.
And I put together video of all that. It's so fun to go back and see.
Oh, I bet.
Like,
I bet making that video.
12 years old at winter camp with the middle school.
Oh, man. I bet making that video pulls your heartstrings like something else.
It does. And then we also get pictures of them, like graduation pictures and stuff, too. And
yeah, put those in.
Always make the parents cry.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a great night and brings incredible reward to me personally and to the kids and the families. Just seeing all of their youth ministry experiences kind of brought back around one final time. It's a beautiful thing.
That's cool.
But then it's summertime and they're off doing their
here
thing.
Here and
family
there.
Vacation. Some of them will still participate in our trips. We have a trip this year just for graduating seniors and college students, a missions trip.
Okay.
Got some kids going on that. And we have our college ministry, which we try to merge them into.
Sure.
It's actually called Emerge.
Nice.
Throughout the course of the spring. So we've had the leader of that working with the seniors in their family groups
to help
all
that
spring.
Transition,
so that transition should go pretty smoothly as well.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. We get a Sunday morning. We get a whole Sunday morning service.
Yeah.
Student ministry takes over. We lead worship. And
which I'm terrified to do because I'm terrified I'm going to miss some kid.
Our high school.
So we stopped doing that.
Our high school pastor, he teaches that morning. And we do the slideshow videos, make everybody cry. And we have a few systems in place to make sure we don't miss anybody. And if we miss anybody, it's probably their fault, not ours.
Yeah,
because of the different things. But we had to put a lot of things in place to make that happen. And the fun thing that we do with them is, so, you know, I used to when making this video, you know, you get all these pictures from these kids and you got to, all right, what songs? Well, how many times can you play, you know,
100 years by Five for Fighting and Time of Our Life by Green Day. You know, like, so like, what are we going to do? So we transitioned not too long ago that when the seniors submit their pictures, they get to choose the music that goes behind just their pictures. So their whole slide. Music. So it's their walk-up. It's their home plate music, you know. Wow. Obviously, we put some restrictions on there because this happens during a Sunday morning service, so there has to be some restrictions. But it's fun for the church to, you know. I mean, again, they're watching pictures of for a lot of these people, they're watching pictures of kids they've never met in their life, right. But yet they're part of their family.
Yeah,
and so cool. It's really cool. And then they hear the music, and you see the pictures, and hear the music. You go, I think I know that kid now. You know, how did he pick that song? And so, always been some fun choices of music there. But you know, by and large, they do a pretty good job. There's every year there's about two or three songs where you think I wouldn't choose this, but they did, and so you know what, I'm just gonna let it roll. There's no cuss words in it, so we're just gonna let it roll.
That's cool.
Yeah, so all these transitions are challenging at the very least. They're challenging just from a pure volume standpoint.
Yeah,
the time that we're investing in these. But there are also other challenges.
And they also happen in a compressed time frame, which makes it really hard on us.
A lot going on.
A lot of events and parties and stuff all at the same time.
In a short period of time. But then you get into the challenges of...
Well, that creates the communication challenge. You got to somehow communicate all of these events to all of these people around the same time.
And they're different people. They're different groups.
Yes.
And some of them you're bringing into the communication train for the first time.
Right.
Because you get fifth grade... students that you're trying to communicate to. Now you have fifth grade parents.
Right.
And a lot of them are first-time youth group parents.
Which freaks them out.
They've never had a kid in youth group before.
They're terrified of this bear that's waiting at their door.
Absolutely. They understand children's ministry. I come on Sunday. You take care of them. I go to church. Life is great. Now all of a sudden you're saying, wait, you're going to take them away for a weekend?
Yes.
They're going to stay overnight? What is this madness?
This is my baby. You can't take my baby.
And so we've got to communicate to a group of people who are not ready to receive the communication we're giving them.
Yeah, so our communication really needs to put them at ease.
Right.
First of all, it needs to be well presented. We need to be very thorough in what we're explaining and, you know, make sure that they understand what the youth ministry is and that they feel good about us personally.
Right.
We have volunteers. That's really important.
What did we talk about earlier?
Yeah.
We have one chance to make a first impression on this first-time youth group parent.
So we got
to
put them at ease.
I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
I've thought this through.
Yes.
This is great.
Yeah. And we also have to be extra patient, I think, with the first-time parents because they are going to be a little bit more freaked out.
Sure.
They haven't been down the path before.
Absolutely.
So they don't quite know what to expect.
We got to give them a little grace.
Yeah. It'll get easier for them. By the time they send their eighth kid through the youth ministry, they'll be fine. They won't even show up at the meetings anymore.
Yep. And we've got to communicate with the students themselves. They got to know what's going on. What do I get to do? Am I out of this group now? Am I in this group now? Yeah. Where am I? They're lost.
Yeah.
And so we've got to communicate.
They don't know how we do things.
They got to communicate. We got to communicate clearly with them so they know what it is, because again, we can get into this mode where we understand the flow, we understand what's going on, and we know the students do, but now there's this whole group of students who don't.
That's a really good point. I think we need to step back from what we are so familiar with, the way we do things, the language we use, the way we check in, the way we go to family groups, the way we do everything that they have no concept of if it's brand new for them. Yeah, so we just need to really see it through the eyes of a first-time parent, especially that first transition is really critical.
Absolutely. And a first-time student.
True.
In a group. Even in the eighth grade to high school transition.
Yeah.
It's a different... They look similar and they look familiar and it's the same mode, but it's different.
Yeah.
And they have different traditions and different...
Crowd.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We gotta see it through theirs. We have this tradition in our high school group where there's this song that we play right before it's time for the, you know, the hangout time is happening.
Yeah.
And then it's time for the group game.
Stupid
youth pastor game. We have this song that we play.
Yeah.
And like, it's like Pavlov's dogs. Like when we play it, our kids just get up and go to the center of the room because they know it's game time. But it's fun to watch that when the eighth graders come up because then they're like looking around like, what's happening? Because they don't know. They just don't know.
Except for that weird kid who's like, this is my favorite song.
Yeah, let's go.
One of the challenges we have with moving the eighth graders into high school is our middle school meets on Wednesday nights. There are a lot of kids who come whose families aren't attached to Mountain View at all, to our church. And so they've come with friends or whatever. So to get them to come back on a different night to a group that's different it is not an easy task.
Sure.
It makes it an extra difficult challenge to get those kids to transition and stay plugged in.
Takes a lot more effort to get that kid there.
Well, you guys, your challenge is slightly different.
Yeah, it's a little different for us, but because our middle school meets on Sunday morning during the service, which is a super convenient time to get a student to youth group because you're already coming to church. So everyone gets in the car, we go our separate ways, we get back in the car, we go to lunch. It's great. Now, all of a sudden, it's Sunday night at 6:30. Wait, I got to get back in the car.
Requires a second trip.
Second trip. Yeah. So if that kid's not as connected or as excited, that's going to be difficult. And if that parent is not so excited about kicking their slippers off and putting shoes back on to drive them up to church, that's a challenge. We have to really stay after our eighth graders or we lose them in that eighth grade to ninth grade transition. It's really difficult.
So in all these challenges of transitions, there's also great opportunities.
Oh, here, right? Such a fun time.
It is. So, you know, there's always students who maybe didn't connect to middle school. Let's say we meet on Wednesday nights. They had football practice every Wednesday all fall. They never got connected at all. This is a chance for a fresh start.
Absolutely.
It's a different night. We meet Sunday nights for high school. There's fewer sports conflicts and stuff like that. So it's a chance for a fresh start. And we have to treat it like that and see if we can, you know, reel these kids back in
absolutely.
And get them started again.
Yeah, it's the challenges are there, but there's so much freshness. I love when the new kids come into the group because they can kind of wake up in a stale group,
That's true.
A group that's sort of just starting to go through the motions because this is routine, this is normal. You bring this new life in and all of a sudden there's life. And so to capitalize on that and use it to push some momentum forward going into the summer, I'm excited about our transitions coming up. I'm ready.
The last thing I just want to talk about briefly is just how hard this is emotionally on us as youth workers.
Oh,
it is so difficult. I was saying before, we do the senior banquet and we do this, you know, this emotional goodbye, reminiscing about these students that we've known and loved and poured into for 7 years. And they're now 18 years old. They're young adults. They're going to college. And then the next week, we're welcoming in 11-year-olds. Who are coming into the middle school ministry, these squirrely little kids who's the oldest in their family, their parents have never been part of our ministry before. And I'm trying to wrap my mind around all those transitions and all those students. And it's a beautiful, painful symphony
of
transition.
Absolutely.
I love it and I hate it. It wrecks me emotionally. It excites me all at the same time. It's just crazy.
Yeah, the thought of watching the senior videos is the thing in the year that I am so excited about and so frightened about. Because it's just this tension between I'm so happy for everything that happened and so sad that it's over.
Just take my heart and just tear it up piece by piece.
Play it like a violin and slam it on the ground.
It's the best of times. It is the worst of times.
Oh, look at that. Nice reference. So hopefully you've got transition plans in your church and you're making memories and markers and really thinking very intentionally about those transitions.
And just prepare yourself emotionally for them because it just wrecks you every year and excites you every year. And it's the never-ending perpetual cycle of youth ministry. It's amazing.
Yeah, because you're going to cry over those seniors. 4 days later, you're going to welcome sixth graders who 7 years from now, you're going to cry over.
That's right. This is
the cycle that continues, but it's a beautiful cycle.
Especially if you stay in it long enough.
Stay in it a long time. It's a glorious, glorious cycle.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear from you. Jump out on there on Instagram and Facebook and tell us about the traditions you have in your student ministry, about how you transition and ways that you sort of, trump it up and make it a big deal. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, thanks for listening to Youth Ministry Service. We really appreciate it. We love you guys, and we'd love to hear any encouragement you have for us. We'll be back next week with episode
18.
Is that right?
Yep, 18. So for now,
Service out.
Peace.